February 10, 2016, is the Wife from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Very warm February, Brother Matt.
Yeah,
February
10th,
like, and it is what? Almost 90?
Yeah. Taste the summer.
Yeah.
It's kind of better than summer.
Couple days. Right? We're in like third or fourth of this.
Yeah, at the beach, and big waves last week washed the beach away, so it's all.
There was a lot.
Yeah.
The other side of the breakwater had mud all over. And God, that plane went down. Those
planes. Two planes crashed. Had some action.
Did you guys hear about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
They just
we did.
Very sad. I guess they were older people.
Yeah.
We were
they
just
found,
talking
found
about
one
that.
Plane's worth. I think the other plane's still missing.
Both were supposed to be from
Torrance.
Yeah, where Dirk Zamperini.
Yeah, Zamperini.
Zamperini Field.
He had a movie about him.
That's right. Brother Matt, we have guests today.
Yeah. Welcome.
And Arthur Steve Reed, welcome to Pedro, Fletcher Point, Love Grotto here. Brother Matt, at the Wild Kingdom on the Wild from Pedro Show.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
We started with John Coltrane doing the Invisible, but then some brand new music's from you guys. Los Pistolas Coyotes.
Yes.
Blanca Piscata.
Oh.
Can you tell me your earliest music memory?
My earliest music memory of anything was...
You probably can lift that master up.
Shea Stadium when my mother took me to see the Beatles.
Wow, cool.
And then
Shea Stadium, so that's...
64.
New York City.
Yes, I'm from the East Coast originally, from New Jersey.
Okay, so 64, you mean your first music you can remember is going to a gig.
Yes.
Wow, very cool. Big gigs to go to.
But you could not hear anything, and I was like...
How old were you?
I was like six.
Six.
Yeah, and I remember I was really pissed off because I thought we were going, like, to the circus, and I would get a turtle like I always did. Or one of those little, what are they
called? So it wasn't your idea to go?
No, it wasn't my idea to go. It was my mother's idea. Yeah. And I went there several times.
Good idea, though.
I got to see the Supremes there, too.
Awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of gigs there.
Yeah, they had a lot of shows there. I've seen, ever since I was very young, I was into music, and at seven, I knew what I wanted to do. And I think at seven, I bought my first record.
What was it?
So it was like Hermits or something like that, or Paul Revere and the Raiders. And then it was after that, it was
like
the Beatles.
Right.
No, we got albums.
Wow, okay.
My mom was really well...
because in those days, AM radio was pretty big. And,
yeah, that was all there was. Yeah. That was all there was. But I was also very fortunate. I grew up in a college town, and on Saturdays, they played blues. Nothing
but a radio station.
And it was, and that's where a lot of the influences I had came from, was that particular station.
There's not a lot from the radio those days.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid growing up, it was like they had FM, but you couldn't get it, really. And then they had AM, and I used to listen to WABC, which came out of New York City.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to the Cousin Brucey show, Bruce Morrow. So that was about it.
Pretty cool things.
Yeah, they play good music. WABC used to play pretty good music, you know. But then, like I said, if you could get FM stations, like you get the, then the college had a station. I lived in Princeton, New Jersey, so Princeton had a college station. And every Saturday they had nothing but rhythm and blues.
You know about Princeton, Brother Man?
I wouldn't expect Princeton dudes to be hip to cool.
But you know it goes way back.
Yeah,
you know, started that school. Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
You know what they got in that area, too, New Jersey? They only have left-hand turn lanes.
Really?
No.
No, what they got is this right-hand turn lane they call a jug handle that puts you around
wow.
to the other side to bring you about. You know what I'm saying?
Trippy, yeah.
It's like it puts you on the other side of the interstate. Yeah, it's trippy. That's Princeton. It's one of the only frat gigs I ever did.
What
I played
frat
house? At Princeton.
Wow.
Yeah.
This fraternity had us play.
Princeton.
And, I can't say I played many fraternity parties, but I did do one, and
cool.
It was at Princeton. So.
I know.
Connect. People don't realize that part of New Jersey, very rural, very pretty.
Yes.
It's not, all of New Jersey is not what you see across the water from New York City, industrial Newark part.
So it was a garden state.
Actually, total garden state. In fact, if you look at it, it looks like California miniaturized and flipped over.
Wow.
Yeah, it's got an angle to it, but the other way. Uh-huh. And they got a huge shoreline. And we played, Steve Reed.
Yeah.
Yes.
We played in,
definitely.
Where's Springsteen from? Asbury Park.
Asbury Park.
And, there was a whole, I guess people would have summer pads on the shoreline. The Jersey would be called the Jersey Shore. Some of it's beat up. You could tell it had better days. Other part is like the hill here. You wouldn't believe. Spendy, big time. So I think people should let go of the stereotypes. You got New Jersey.
It's not ugly at all. Yeah. Princeton's it's a revolutionary town. It's like one of the houses I lived in was probably built in the 1700s, like the mid-1700s. And it was very
it's
pretty.
Not too far from Trenton. And Trenton is where
that's the capital.
Washington came across. They were in England. They were working for England. They're called Hessians.
Oh, yeah.
It was Christmas. I guess you weren't supposed to do that on Christmas Day. I guess when you're weaker, you cheat. But that's Trent. You know, Andrew Weiss is Trent. He played bass in Henry's. Actually, Greg's gone, then Henry's. So back to your music. In school, did you have music friends? Or was this just a woman alone at home thing? Oh, with your mom.
Pretty much it's like I have.
It seems guys like to get together, get in a garage, start making
bands. Yeah, guys do. And
with ladies, it's a little different.
It was a lot different. And I mean, I knew, like I said, at a very early age, I wanted to write. And I wanted to write music also. I wanted to write books. I wanted to write music. Anything to do with that, you know, field I was interested in. And I was just fortunate enough, like, my mom was very well, versed, I guess, in music. I got to meet some very interesting people through her. I got to meet Duke Ellington twice in my life.
Wow.
So I met him when I was 9 years old going to Aspen, Colorado.
And what kind of impression do you have of him?
I was like, my mother said, "Do you know who you're meeting?" And I said, "No." And she said, "This is Duke Ellington. He's like one of the all-time jazz greatest." And I said, "Oh, really?" And this man was impeccably dressed, very well spoken, and just you sort of just kind of were in awe of this person. It's like he put out his hand to shake, you know, hands with me. And then about 15 years maybe later, I meet him again, or 10 years later, actually, it would have been, not even less. I met him again at UCSD, and he remembered me from this airplane that we had taken into Aspen. Because we flew out of the airport in Denver and flew into Aspen, Colorado. And I didn't get to see him then, but I got to see him play at UCSD. And that was his last show.
UCSD is La Jolla.
Yes, that's where where I wound up going to high school.
Yeah, Raz, Texas, Cal State.
Yeah,
you know that stuff. Okay, let's get back to your music. So you got to meet, that's a powerhouse. Money Tree, great record with Mr. Mingus, Mr. Roach. Yeah. Money Joe. You also did one with his rhythm section and John Coltrane's rhythm section. They traded. Yeah. Interesting. But what about cats playing with?
That started actually.
When did you first start playing with people?
I started playing with people when I was on the East Coast and I was like 13. But
so like junior high.
Yeah, but a lot of people. You see, the problem I had was I didn't get an opportunity to really ground myself with anybody because as soon as I was 13 years old, I got sent away to boarding schools. And I got kicked out of three of them, and unfortunately, by then my mother had moved out here, and they put me on a plane and shot me over here, and I was happy as hell because I got to spend the rest of my time in La Jolla, which was at that time, back in like the late 70s, mid-70s, it was a tiny little town, just like Pedro is. It didn't have all this nouveau riche in it. You know, it was great, you know. We didn't drive Beamers to school. We rode our bikes, you know. And
you found people to play with.
Yes, I found in one particular one that I stayed with for, over 20-some-odd years was Brian Hansen, who became my guitar player in Legal Weapon.
Wow, let's get to that. But what we got here? Something with Brother Steve. Schemers. Yeah. Sylvia.
Oh, cool.
Billions flowing their way. When
Thank you. Has anyone out there heard of Jimmy Boyle? This one's for him because he's one of my heroes. Next to the Craze.
Pedro show, we heard Schemers, Sylvia Jancusa. We were just getting in line, and Steve says, the engineers know each other. Both the projects.
Oh, no, they don't. But I'm saying that they're both like geniuses in their own right.
That's how they're connected. You got to be on two sessions with geniuses.
Yes, extremely, very grateful.
And as for Steve doing the bass there, but with the Pistolas music director.
I'm music director.
Yeah, he made it happen. he really made it happen.
And we heard Luther and Toby with Sperry Express, Dan Coffin after that Black Forest, Big Crux, Duplenty Shuffle, Tomato maybe, Cherie from Fruity, Bad News Perfume, Barrett Whitfield and the Savages, Limited Rut by the Ruts, Live.
Cool.
Rude Boy Instrumental, Mr. Tom Tobacco, Pittsburgh. Finally, John Truby when Big Tiny Comes to Town. Okay, back on your music adventure, Kat. So, this is where you meet Brian in La Jolla.
Right.
And is this where the Weapon starts, or is there a band before the Weapon?
No, there was a band before Legal Weapon. There were a lot of little false starts and stuff. And what happened was we did bands in high school, and then I went to college. And while I was up here, it was like I kept in touch with Brian because by then he had become my boyfriend. I didn't want to stay in college. I wanted to play music. He moves up to L.A., and I leave school. I was going to Pepperdine out in Malibu, and I just left. And my parents were, like, livid because, you know, it's like, you know, all their kids go to school. That's what we're supposed to do. Both my parents. Yeah, well, both my parents, they taught.
Even though she got you into music.
they were academics, so that's what you got to do. You got to go to school and you got to, you know, live that good life. So I didn't do that, and I started the first band I was in, like, that did anything, I guess, was in Los Angeles. And I guess it was the Silencers. And this is going back to 79. Okay. The punk scene was out. I had gone to The Mask. I remember coming up from La Jolla, going to The Mass to see shows, and then I came up to go to school here, and there were shows going on, and it was wonderful, you know. It was like that whole scene.
Is that the first time you played in front of people?
No, it wasn't the first time, because I played in front of people in high school, but as far as like a band, and playing in clubs, yes.
Yeah. What was that like, in original songs, writing songs?
Well, this was the thing, like I said, I always wanted to write.
Yeah.
The guy that was in the band with us was Steve Rayner. He was in a band called Shock.
Yeah.
You might remember them.
Sure.
Okay, and I remember seeing Shock play at the Troubadour, and they had a singer.
Merch, a little bit merch.
Yeah, a little bit. But I remember when somebody threw a dead pigeon at the singer, and he ran off stage. And how many singers do you know their mothers go to every show? Come
not
on.
Not a lot.
No, not a lot. The man was in tears. And at that point, Steve Rayner said, that's it. I'm not playing with these guys anymore. And he started the Silencers up. And they had a guy singing for them originally. And I came in, tried out, because it wasn't working out. And he said, oh, yeah, okay. And I think I played in that band for a year. And then we wanted to write our own material. It became a conflict of interest because we only had like a couple of songs, and he would write the rest of the material.
Because it was his band.
Yeah, it was his
band.
You
want to start your own band, and that's with The Weapon.
Right. And then The Weapon came up, and what happened was Patricia Morrison.
Yeah. She's from the Bags people.
Yeah, and
actually,
The Damned.
I think Vanian.
Yeah, well, they're married. Yeah, Patricia Vanian. They have a daughter together. And Patricia started up with me and Brian and Charlie Vartanian, who at the time was like 17 and was our drummer.
Wow.
And we tried a bunch of different guitar players. That didn't really work out. And then we did our first EP with a guy named Alex Murphy, who was in Viva Beat.
Yeah.
He produced it. May he rest in peace. Yeah. And that's how Legal Weapon got started. And that was about like 1980.
And you guys are like living up in Hollywood.
Right. We were living in Hollywood. Well, actually, we were living out kind of by Universal Studios.
Little Val.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't really the Valley. It's like in between.
Okay.
It was like we lived on Fredonia, which is really funny.
Yeah, I know that.
Because it's a country in a Marx Brothers film.
Right, I think.
Yeah, so we lived on Fredonia.
Animal Crackers?
Yeah, it's where Lancashire dead ends. And what was
Fredonia,
really great,
Groucho Marx is like running a country.
And it's Fredonia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we lived on a street called Fredonia.
I think Horse Feathers is where he's Professor Wagstaff.
But you know what? We were really fortunate because Parliament Funkadelic lived right down the street from us.
Yeah.
And it used to trip me out because I'd go, who are all these women going up the hill? You know, they're in plaits and these strange-looking people with their clothes and their hair and their thing. And I'm like, who is this? And then we hear this music, and I'm like, my God, these guys are great. And I go, who the hell is this? It's like Parliament Funkadelic.
You hear them jamming all the time?
Yeah. They rented a house right on the corner.
Oh, wow.
And so we got to hear them. But, yeah, we lived out there for a while. And the house we lived in, it was a shack, literally. When I moved up there with Brian, we move in, and some motorcycle guy had lived in the place. He had ripped all the insulation out of the walls.
That's the best move.
Oh, yeah. I was in tears. There was a coyote chained up to the fence. And I go, I've been living in La Jolla, and I move up to this. And I go, this is the house that your mother owned? You said it was a house. All my shit is piled up. Can I say that? All my stuff's piled in the middle of the living room floor. What floor was left, you know? And when, that's where we moved, and we started the Fredonia shack. Yeah, but that's where the silencers started,
lived,
and legal weapons
you lived
started there.
Like Ishmael. So
yeah.
Okay.
But we had many good parties there, except when Darby came in and rearranged the house and spray painted it.
You have to pay most people to do that.
Yeah. Well, Darby crashed at that time. He would come in and spray paint anything. But yeah.
You probably had to supply the paint.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the first hour, February 10, 2016 edition of Pedro Show, Brother Matt. Here with Kat, Brother Steve.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour two. February 10th, 2016. It's the second hour. Watch the Pedro Show. Thank you.
Did I unfold? que traten de levantar un país. Hay sangre por toda la rambla Badal y hombres que nunca partirán. Nudo de nudos, nudo de dedos.
estamos moviendo sí. Padło mani, nie wstydzi wrogie prąd. Chce i wędrzadą, wędrzadą. Czemu spada z tyła, święta pól.
Watt for Beaver show started the second hour off with brand new Los Pistolas Coyotes with Ghost on 2nd Street.
Right.
Scary song? True story?
Not so scary. True story.
Okay.
You know some of these people that it's about. You
names
do.
Names were changed to protect the innocent?
Well, names were not mentioned to protect the innocent.
Kankin Heads from Finland after that with Unarmed Opponents. Quine from Tuggy, Leipzig, Germany. Into the Darkness, EVL from Nagoya. Japan Familiar, Miranda. Brute Nature, brand new out of Barcelona. Chili Cats. Ushmedoma, brand new. Obliki Savage. They're Czech. And brand new Belgrade. Disciplina Kichwa, 927, Koya, much respect. So, tell me about this Pistolas Coyotes.
Well, after years of playing with Legal Weapon and then a lot of downtime, I mean, I was fortunate enough to have Laura introduce me again to Rudy from The Brat. Which is a East Los Angeles band, punk band. And we got together like a few years ago, a couple of years ago. And Laura, may she rest in peace, that song.
Laura, right? People, she lived in Pedro here.
She's a homegirl from here. A lot to do. She had Feline Productions.
Yeah.
Did a lot for a lot of bands. Did a lot for me personally. And Ghost on 2nd is about her. It's about Shane and Gypsy. So it's about several people that we lost. It seemed like we had a lot of people that, you know, we lost, like Mike Atta.
Yeah.
A bunch of people and within the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And it was to just sort of let them know that, you know, I know you guys are still here. You just didn't evaporate. I still feel them, you know. And they've left their impression forever on me. But
it comes out in the Pistola Coyote.
Yeah, it's basically all my songs, that's the way they're written. Steven was kind enough, I should say, to help me get the guys together for this recording, too.
Yeah, you know, good people playing on it.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent people. Alice Bagg is on Blanca Pescada.
Yeah.
And
Tony
Fate, and from the Bell Rays and Black Widows and a bunch of bands. Vince.
He's been playing with you in Carnage.
Yeah, he plays with you in Carnage and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Vince Maroney, incredible.
Vince.
Yeah,
our
Vince.
Band, sax man. Well, drum
yeah,
and Dan Kalukas.
Trumpet man.
Yeah, and Stephen was...
Joe Biza.
Yeah, and Joe Biza. He's going to be working with us on another song. We've got, like, about four more songs to do, at least.
Yeah, people, we're playing you for this
That's not even
show.
Mixed.
Right, right. They're just still rough coming out. But when you get the other tunes, we'll flow them your way, because they're really good going, you guys. We got Brother Man here with some spin cyclage.
Oh, cool. It's time.
And let's bring him, Brother Man. so very much. They're dishing the spin cell. What was that all about? What were you doing? Why?
Had some lightning woodcock there.
Yeah.
So wrapping it up. And it was mostly just some stuff that needed to be dusted off. No particular other reason than that. Stuff hadn't been getting any action for a while.
Right, and if you don't use it, you lose it, right?
Yeah.
So you know, like starting a lawnmower.
Yeah.
Like George would say, two beads at the end. So we're at the end of the second hour, 2016, February 10, edition of WAP Pedro Show, hold tight, hour 3. February 10, 2016, it's the third hour of the WAP Pedro Show.
Down to FLA. We'll be right back.
for Pedro show started the third hour off with some Los Pistoles Coyotes, Gun on My Shoulder. Can you tell us about that, Kat?
Was it Gun on My Shoulder or Reap What You Sow?
Oh, yeah. You ain't played Gun on My Shoulder yet, people.
It's Reap What You Sow?
Fuck of music. This
I have to help you.
Yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. For a lot of reasons. Not just 35 years ago.
That
but also in the moment here, I still can't get you.
Let me help you, Mike.
So what about Reap What You Sow? It's kind of a karma song, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's that song. What we were playing in rehearsal, the youngster that Mike Alvarez. Yeah, he's a great bass player. He's still a very young man, and he was playing something. You know,
how did you meet him?
How did we meet?
We met him through a Sherpas and
Tommy Sherpa, Vince Moroni,
and I thought, hey, bring him. We need him.
Yeah, but he plays with the Hellbats also. Yeah.
That's where Vince sings.
Right. Yeah, and in fact, Steve Kopp's on this record. The singer from the Hellbats is on this. He's doing backups on the vocals, okay. and along with Alice Bagg that does backups.
She's on this one too.
Yeah, she's featured on.
Well, what about this too? She's on Blanca Piscata.
She's on Blanca Piscata, right? On this tune though, the youngster and I were in rehearsal, and he was playing something that he was trying to play like one of these old '60s songs, and I don't know, it just came together.
It's that Steve.
Yeah, it was. I forget what song it was, but it was like a '60s song.
The
song was
like an R&B line.
It was like God. I can't even.
With this part, and then I don't know. Was I playing drums at the time? I might have been sitting and playing drums.
I think
and
so.
Kind of worked it out, and it just became the song. And then Anthony came with the lick.
Anthony came up with the one lick.
It just kind of came.
Anyway, he was trying to play one song. It came up as something else, and voila.
Has this been like the process of the album?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's like most of the songs when I write them, it's like I'll write songs of all things on a bass because I can play a bass better than guitar.
Yeah.
So I write the melody on a bass, or I'll write like a little riff or something. I'll present it to the guys, and they take it from there.
Okay.
And between the writing, generally I write with Anthony and Rudy. They're the two primaries. But the youngster came up with this riff, and the next thing we know, we've got this song, and I put these lyrics to it that are kind of like, you know, reap what you sow. You know, you go through life. If you go through life doing bad things, you're going to get it.
So it's like a bank account.
Exactly.
Withdrawals or deposits.
Exactly.
You heard External Menace will detonate your hate. After that, punch the air with glory from Infla Riot. King Prawn, Gather Round, Cosmodrome, Ka the Yows, from Germany, so I don't know what they were saying. These may kind of your form and soul. That's one of the cats in Double Ot Spy, Joe Berardi, the drum man.
Phenomenal guy. Phenomenal.
Incredible cat.
Yeah.
You know, he knows makes fuzz boxes, too. I shit thee not. Yeah. What about gigs?
What, for this band?
Yeah.
Well, there's the Nella, and then there's the Nella, and there's the Nella.
So you've been, you know what, a couple weeks ago I was at Redwood, they're doing gigs again.
Yeah, well, you know what, basically what it is having enough songs. Because a few, say a year ago.
The album, then you'll have
you're right, because like over a year ago, like we had all these songs that we used to do, but I used to do some Legal Weapon songs, and I don't want to do that. No, this is totally fresh.
Tell me about this Gun on the Shoulder. This is number four you've done now.
Gun on My Shoulder. That's about now and what's going on in Afghanistan.
Okay.
And this war
is it our longest war, Brother Matt?
It's got to be. And it's as pathetic as the Vietnam War.
Longer.
It's longer, exactly, but I mean, for us.
Not for Uncle Ho.
Ooh,
warrior, be crafted. High by sword from a girl in the masses. Here to tell you that you can't be stagnant. No breaks, cause you gotta take action. And dreams are illegal in the ghetto. Most like passion. I'm trying to reach the top, but I hope I don't die like a fiend. Just for you, cause I need it. I hope you know why. If you don't, just beat it like Michael. You do know the meaning. I advise you to take some notes, my people. Why they are trying to love my people, control my people, knowing damn well we don't really roll like people. We know you.
Symbolic, it seems, after these troubled times, my number is written on a wall. I have so much to share. We are both incredibly busy, but then there is no bullshit here. Unlike most relatives, we have a lot in common. My first cousin and I, we support each other's work. Both of us work the night shift, trying to rest up sometime. Our love for running conquers all. We are strong poets and good friends. No, we are more like brothers. I won't be able to visit, but I know he thinks of me. Is poetry more important than anything? You bet it is.
What's that? like the best thing ever. It tastes like something. Oh no, it tastes like love. It tastes like forever. It tastes like a skinny bone. It tastes like a shiver. Come on. We'll be right back.
road to living, just letting the demon trail behind. A lich with a knack for finding beauty, its body intact as a crumbling statue.
Shoulder, those Pistolas Coyotes. Think about these wars. Jack Brewer's cousin Joe Brewer, speaking of sacred, with the poem Writing on the Wall. Total Eclipse after that out of Lyon, France. Rats in the Louvre. Louvre, kind of French name, but they're from Long Beach. buddies. World's Forgotten Sons, that's Markle. Italian Good Cat in London. And Solanke from Leeds, England. In a Minutemen-inspired thing called Olapido, and finally, Secret Cat with Faulty Decisions. I can't remember anything about how I got that Secret Cat music. And it don't say anything on the shit. It's got some guy wearing a mask, and he's all naked and shit. So, some imagination. So, thank you, Secret Cat. I think somebody in the Northwest, because after these gigs with my second and the ex-guys, it was in the sack, so I think it came from somewhere up there. Not for sure. And that was a hell ride, Brother Matt. That was 18 hours.
Damn.
With the storm right behind us.
Man.
Amazing. Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah. We get spoiled here in California.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Kat, advice, you know, all the way back from Shea Stadium to the Weapon and like we were just talking about the young cat with the rap. What would you give somebody who wants to get in on this music racket thing nowadays? What advice?
Well, I think today it's a little bit easier because of the multimedia you have at your fingertips. I think if you have a passion for music, do it. I mean, hell, what? You've been doing it? You know?
Yeah, I'm not that young guy asking you. I'm just pretending somebody is.
Right. But for
I know what you mean, though. You mean you got to have a kind of a...
You have to have a passion for it. Without music for me, I feel like I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it doesn't just stop because you get older. You know?
Much younger.
And younger.
Yeah.
So younger. For anybody, yeah, less younger. Anybody in...
Nobody gets old. We just get less younger.
That's right. Okay. But anybody doing...
But somebody who is in the young days, that's what I'm talking about, and you were talking to them. What could you, like, hand down?
I just...
Or can you hand down? Maybe
you can tell them to hand down. You find your passion.
Yeah.
You write about it, and you don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of discouragement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That means people telling you no.
Yeah, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing with your life? You're doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get in this business, you know, go for it. But you have to be able to, well, not be able, you have to be willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you know, if you want to sell records, you're going to have to tour.
Yeah.
And you see, the club thing has changed so much. When you and I were going out to clubs, yeah. It's like you go out, you could go out every night.
Yeah.
And something was happening.
Yeah.
But you can make your own scene. Because that's basically what, like, the punk movement was.
Sure.
We made our own scene because
sure.
Nothing was available to us.
Yeah.
And we made our own music.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Really good. And the plan is get the album recorded, then you'll have enough for gigs. So you release the record and you'll be doing... you'll be playing Cafe Nella.
Yeah.
I'll be opening up for you. Well, Steve, doing a great job, music directing.
Yeah,
well. We're getting a little accompaniment here from cats.
On my telephone, I'm so sorry.
But you really, good job you're doing here, and incredible. I look forward to hearing the rest. Brother Matt,
yeah, appreciate you having you guys down.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For always aiding an event, essentially, like you always do here at Love Grotto and Pleasure Point, the Wild Kingdom.
My pleasure.
Guys, is it sweatier up there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. Man.
It's bad.
Okay. Thanks, Kat. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, everybody out there, keep your powder dry.